The house ahead of him was a dark brown rectangle without a straight line or a sharp corner. A wooden staircase went up the front to a sliding glass door and small windows with the blinds drawn. Jesse stopped to catch his breath. In the dark, the house looked like it had climbed out of the mud or was sinking back into it. No part of him wanted to be here, to have to pay back his debt like this. "In and out, get it over with," he muttered. He bypassed the staircase, pulling up his hood as he skidded down a muddy set of uneven steps alongside the house. The lower level of the house was cement block. A narrow yard widened in the direction of rusty metal chairs overturned around a fire pit, before gradually descending to the lake. The house had another deck on the back. Underneath were the remnants of a depleted woodpile and a battered storm door with access to the basement. Jesse pulled open the storm door and set the clip that propped it open. The back door had individual glass panes set in a crosshatch pattern. Jesse hit the window closest to the deadbolt with his elbow. The sound of breaking glass made his breath catch in his throat. He counted to 10, waiting for lights to come on. Nothing happened. He reached inside, undid the bolt and the twist lock on the doorknob. Thunder rolled overhead as he pushed the door open and stepped over the broken glass. It was pitch dark inside. A clock radio on a shelf flashed red numbers, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. It smelled like cigarettes and garbage and wet, rotten things. Jesse took a penlight from his back pocket and used it to sweep over a workbench on his left, littered with scattered tools and boxes of nails and spools of wire and plastic grocery bags. A telephone with a tortured, twisted cord hung on the wall. On his right, an old refrigerator droned. He pulled open the door hard enough to make the beer cans inside dance on their wire racks. The light reached all but the basement's darkest corners. He left the door open. Shelves made from concrete blocks and long sagging planks split the room in half lengthwise. In front of the shelves, he saw a rocking chair with cracked leather on the seat and on the back. A sawed-off section of a tree trunk was being used as a side table. He saw an enormous ceramic ashtray filled with cigarette butts and a garbage can overflowing with beer cans and crushed cigarette packs and boxes from microwave meals. On the floor behind the chair, a damp cardboard box had split its seams and let slide an avalanche of magazines. Nearly nude women stared up from the covers. Jesse picked up one closest to his foot, a moldy penthouse from August 1981, more than 20 years before he was born. He circled behind the shelves, past a wall-mounted sink and an open toilet in one corner. The other corner of the basement was built out into a small room with a metal door. It could have been for storage, but his gut told him it was something else. Jesse shivered at the threshold, his skin clammy and prickling with a million hairs. He made a sideways fist around the door sliding bolt and pulled it backward, stepping out of the way as the heavy door swung open on silent hinges. He thumbed the penlight again. He wasn't sure, but he thought the walls were painted pink. The color had peeled away in places, leaving discolored spots that looked like scabs. He saw a thin mattress covered in dark stains on a metal frame. A heavy chain hung limply through a steel ring bolted on the wall at the head of the bed. Nothing about the scene in front of him made sense. He wasn't sure what he was looking at, but he knew the last thing he'd ever want was to be left alone in this room, in the dark, with the door shut. He blindly reached for the inside door handle to pull it shut again, and found there wasn't one. He shined the penlight on it just to make sure. This was a prison cell of some kind, a cage. How else to explain a door with no handle, no way to get out from the inside? He shined the weak penlight across the blistered pink walls again. He felt like he was staring into the mouth of something that wanted to swallow him. When he killed the light, the darkness inside seemed to go down and down to a place that had never known the sun. Behind him, the furnace made a loud ticking sound, then whoomped to life.